ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमा देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टके।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 50 टेक्स्ट नंबर 30 चैप्टर एंटाइटल कृष्णा एस्टैब्लिशेस द्वारका।
जग्रह वीरथम रामः जरासंधा महाबलम हत अनिका अवशिष्टः असो सिंहा सिंहं इव ओजसा। जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंदं महाबला हतानिकावशिष्टासुं सिंहा सिंहं इव ओजसा। जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंदं महाबला हतानिकावशिष्टासुं सिंहा सिंहं इव ओजसा। जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंधं महाबला हतानिकावशिष्टासु सिंहा सिंहं विवौजसा। जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंधं महाबलं हतानिकावशिष्टासं सिंहं सिंहं इव ओजसा। जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंधं महाबलं हतानिकावशिष्टासु सिंहा सिंहं इव ओजसा।
माताजी
जग्राह विरतं रामो जरासंधं महाबलं हतानिकावशिष्टासु सिंहा सिंहा विवौजसा।
जग्राह हि सीट विरथा who was deprived of his chariot. Ramaha, Lord Balaram. Jarasandham, Jarasandha. Maha, very. Balam, strong. Hata, killed. Anika, whose army. Avashishta, remaining. Asum, whose breath. Simha, a lion. Simham, another lion. Eva, as. Ojasa, forcibly. Translation. Jarasandha with his chariot lost and all his soldiers dead was left with only his breath. And that point Lord Balaram forcibly seized a powerful warrior just as one lion takes hold of another. Next verse is no purport here. Text 31.
Badyamanam mataratim pashair varunamanushai varayam asa govindas tena karya chikirshaya.
Translation. With the divine noose of Varun and other mortal ropes, Balaram began tying up Jarasandha who had killed so many foes. But Lord Govinda still had a purpose to fulfill through Jarasandha, and thus he asked Balaram to stop. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Purport. The word hata ratim means who has killed his enemies or through whom his enemies would be killed. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti has provided this thoughtful note.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaganvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Vasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ కంటిన్యూ విత్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ నరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద పాస్ట్ టైమ్ వేర్ కృష్ణ అండ్ బలరామ్ ఆర్ ఎన్కౌంటరింగ్ జరాసన్ అండ్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ వర్స్ అండ్ ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ హౌ కృష్ణ అండ్ బలరామ్ ది సింగిల్ హ్యాండెడ్లీ జస్ట్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ద ఎంటైర్ ఆర్మీ ఆఫ్ జరాసన్. జరాసన్ హెడ్ కమ్ విత్ యు నో 23 అక్షని డివిజన్ ఆఫ్ సోల్జర్స్ అండ్ కృష్ణ బలరామ్ విత్ జస్ట్ ఫ్యూ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ జస్ట్ కేమ్ టు అటాక్ ఆర్ కౌంటర్ అటాక్ జరాసన్ అండ్ ది ఎఫర్ట్లెస్లీ destroyed all the armies. And this particular time Balram is about to capture Jarasan, but then Krishna knows that he has some other plans for Jarasan, so he forbids Balram from doing so. Krishna mentions that Lord Govinda has a purpose to fulfill, so he asks Balram to stop. No, Lord's pastimes are very extraordinary, adbhut. You know, whatever the Lord does, he does in a very, you know, extraordinary way. Whether it's like killing Putana when you're a small child, or killing Shakatasura when you're a small baby, maybe killing Trinavarta. You know, means he does it in such a way that it appears as if it just doesn't require any effort for the Lord. But it's very extraordinary. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, in one of his class, he was mentioning that, you know, everyone in this world is looking for excitement. Like, life is never complete if there is no excitement. Otherwise, it will be dull. So people are looking for some excitement, you know. That's the reason he was mentioning that people go to watch movies, you know, because they want something different from the routine life, or they want to watch some nice dramas, wonderful presentations, or maybe like they want to hear some nice music, or maybe like, you know, they want to read something very exciting novel. So all this is to just to, you know, create that excitement from within the heart. And he says this particular thing is innate, because life, you know, doesn't go on without some exciting things happening. Like, you find, like, you know, everyone in the world outside, if you go, people are just there running around here and there, thinking that they are very busy. They are completely engrossed, you know. Like, you want to go to the railway station, you find everyone is busy trying to catch a train, as if, you know, they don't have any time in the world. But if they find something very exciting around, then you'll find they have all the time in the world to watch. Like, they will leave aside everything and just watch also. Like, I was at VT station, and there, like, if you see outside VT station, you know, it's all very crowded. You will not find anyone stopping at any place and just looking around in the sky or probably whiling away time. You'll find everyone is busy running. But at one place, at one corner, near the Capitol Cinema, just exactly opposite VT station, there was one person who was performing on particular feat, which is something which is extraordinary from the mundane point of view. He was taking out his eyeballs, eyes out of his eyeballs. You know, with his instrument, he would just take out the eyes from the eyeballs, and all the eyeballs, eyes would pop out of the socket. And then again he would put it inside, you know. So this is something very unusual. Even I also stood there to watch. Because something exciting, you don't see it very often. But then everyone was watching. And he would do it very effortlessly. And I could actually see that the eyeballs are there outside the socket. And then again it would put inside. Again it would come out and again put inside, you know. Something quite unusual, you can say. You know. And some other time, I saw in that area only, like, somebody just taking a very sharp instrument and piercing the tongue through the, you know, the piercing the tongue through with this instrument. and nothing happened for him. And he would do it. Something which was something unusual, you can say. So, said that, you know, like, people like to do that so that they can attract the attention of others. You know, that's why we have this Guinness Book of World Records. What are Guinness Book of World Records? Nothing but something somebody does something crazy, which nobody else does. Right? Somebody has very long nails, growing long, you know, I don't know what effort may have taken just to preserve those nails, you know. To go into the bathroom also may be difficult because it's such a huge nail, just, you know, curved. Or somebody has, you know, very long hair. So many things. You do something unusual, what the others or normal people don't do, then you are in the Guinness Book of World Records. You know, you have to do something unusual. Somebody goes on drinking, maybe 2 gallons, then he's in the Guinness Book of World Record, like that, you know. So something unusual. And when I was small, many of you may have also witnessed, like, you know, like cycling. Somebody would just cycle around for 1 month. Just go round and round and round and round and round. Many may have, it's not seen nowadays, but then, you know, small, I would see just outside my house, there was a big playground. And this, you know, there will be always this presentation where the cyclist would just go on cycling like this for 1 month continuously. He's not out of the cycle at all. Like whatever he has to eat, sleeping also he doesn't cycle only. Dressing, everything he doesn't cycle. And people are there watching. You know, this is something unusual, very unusual. No, they were attracting all this. So this particular aspect of getting attracted to something unusual is nothing new. Every living entity wants to see something or witness something extraordinary. And Krishna performs so many extraordinary activities through his pastimes. But then in the Bhagavad Gita he mentions that whatever things you see in this world is a spark of a splendor. I don't know. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattva srimad urjita mayavava. So we see miracles taking place in this, you know, material world. If you just should open eyes and see, you see so many things happening. The miracles are happening every moment. Every moment the miracles are happening. How the rose flowers, how the sun rises, how the waves are formed. So many miracles are happening. So many miracles are happening. And Krishna says they are all nothing but the spark of my splendor. In fact, you know, I would always wonder that how the heart goes on beating. Something unusual, you know. Of course, we all know that the super soul is there who makes the heart pump. Like a cardiologist who does surgery, maybe a bypass, he doesn't know when he just makes the heart, you know, keep aside and then pump it artificially through to the surgery. And then he has to just wait. Wait for the heart to start pumping again. He cannot say, okay, now we will start pumping. But he has to wait for the heart to start pumping. But then thing is that, you know, you see the heart pumping, what makes the heart pump throughout? While all of us are sitting here, everyone's heart is pumping, going on pumping. It is not stopping. We may sleep, you know, we may just not do anything, maybe be inactive, but the heart is always active. Heart is every time active. If the heart stops, then we stop. It's like this. Something unusual. And then, you know, when as medical students we see under the microscope the cell, and within the cell it's like a city in itself, the mitochondria, the nucleus, the cytoplasm, it's like a city in itself. Everything is moving around within the small cell. That also is like a, you know, mind-boggling miracle. Once Julian's Radhanswami Maharaj in his class was mentioning about clouds. He said the plane goes through the clouds and the cloud doesn't get wet. It's like, and the cloud holds gallons and gallons of water. But that cloud just floats very nicely. The planes also couldn't pass through that. Still the plane is not touched by the water. So these are all the wonderful things. Now, sometimes we start wondering, the brain, you know, how the brain works also. So much of information that we can store within the brain. No? In fact, it says that we use only 10% or 20% of the brain substance. Rest of the things are not used because, you know, those dendrites and axons are not opened up also. We hardly use that. If you use it, then it's, you know, it's not terabytes, it's like multiples of that which you can store within our brain. So something so unusual. So I was just thinking that, you know, for Krishna there's nothing unusual. He just does everything in a way by which you can attract hearts. For him to kill any demon, it's not so difficult for him. He just, you know, he just has to, sitting as super soul, maybe cut off one of the arteries or veins, and then a person dies. He doesn't have to come and, you know, stand in the battlefield and try to fight with Jarasandh or maybe fight with any other living entity. But then Krishna does all these things just to attract our mind and hearts. Right? In this material world also we see, like, you know, the popular movies are now which have come out. You know, like a person, like a hero, a film hero, an ordinary person, but because he's shown to be doing something very extraordinary in the movie, that movie becomes a hit. Though internally we all know that, you know, he doesn't have that capacity to do that. But somehow or the other, it becomes a hit. It's houseful. It fetches crores of rupees just because people want to see how he does it. You know, though internally he knows that he cannot do it, but then the film shows. You know, he comes and, you know, he just kills 100 people at one time, one shot. He just jumps and, you know, in jumps only, he makes 4 or 5 somersaults in the air only, and then through that, you know, he kills 5 or 6 of them. And nothing happens, still is as is, you know. And people like to watch that, and they watch also, they pay also. But we all know that it's all false, right? So similarly here, you know, we see that Krishna and Balram, effortlessly they finish all the 23 Akshani division of soldiers. Effortlessly, it's not so difficult. You know, if you can accept someone like us, who is working, is acting in films, and then go and pay our hard-earned money to see that, why not accept Krishna? But Krishna says it's not possible. They'll not do that because avajananti mam manushya tanma ashram. Avajananti mam buddha, he says that people don't, they think that I am human being coming in this material world in form of human. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tattvada. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who knows my the nature of my appearance and my activities never has to take birth in this material world. So here we find that Jarasandha actually is helping Krishna. You know, he is actually assisting Krishna in his particular purpose. Krishna comes and does multitasking, like by killing Jarasandha in this particular way. You know, Krishna attracts the hearts of all the wonderful living entities, the devotees. At the same time, you know, he has a purpose to fulfill. Then destroy all the miscreants, the demons who have become burdened on this planet Earth. But at the same time, through all this, you find that, you know, like he uses them also for his purpose. He uses the demons also for the same purpose. Like Jarasandha, if Jarasandha would not have got all this, it seems he has done 17 times, he got so many soldiers again, the demons, and Krishna had to kill all of them. So Krishna said that here it's mentioned that Krishna has a purpose, that's why he left Jarasandha, so that Jarasandha go back and get more. So Krishna should just wait at one place. Jarasandha goes, collects, Krishna kills, again comes and collects, Krishna kills, you know. And Jarasandha is such a fool, he doesn't understand also. Right, he should understand at least that, you know, so many I am collecting, and then Krishna and Balram are effortlessly destroying all the soldiers, but still he feels that I can do. And that's what happens in this material world, that, you know, we become illusioned by things, that some reversals come in our life, we think, no, maybe this time I made a mistake, maybe next time I will not. And again you do the same mistake, and then again you are brought back into that illusion that, oh, maybe I made a mistake, maybe I should do it next time properly, I will do it again. And then that's how it happens. So we may smile or we may laugh at Jarasandha's folly, but then many times we also do it. We don't realize that, you know. So Jarasandha here is actually assisting Krishna in his, you know, like in Krishna's purpose of killing all the demons. So it is said that, you know, through the material energy also, you know, Krishna does this same thing. The mass destructions happening around in the world is already been happening through the Krishna's external energy, material energy. Here in Krishna Lila, Krishna does directly, but in the material world, Krishna does through his energies. So everything in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you find, there's a lot of incarnations, you find there are very extraordinary activities like performed. Like the example of Varadeva appearance. Something so astonishing. You know, like the demigods approach Lord Brahma, Brahmaji prays to the Lord, and then suddenly through his nostril a small living entity comes as a boar. And that same boar increases size to so much extent that he completely, you know, occupies the entire universe. And then it dives into the Garbhodaka ocean and picks up Mother Earth. Means you can imagine how big Varadev has assumed that size just from that small nostril. Hiranyaksha, because of his, you know, pride of his prowess, he had drilled Mother Earth to exploit, and then, you know, Mother Earth had submerged into the Garbhodaka ocean. To pick it up, Varadev appeared there. And then how he killed Hiranyaksha? First he just, you know, avoided the fight, but then later on he just, you know, touched him under the ears. That's all, finished. And over. That's the end of Hiranyaksha. So this is how the Lord does. So it's said that, you know, Lord's activities are extraordinary, but at the same time it is said that the Lord's devotees' activities are also extraordinary. You know, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. It's said that without the empowerment of the Lord, you know, one cannot do something extraordinary. So you find many of the places in the history of our Sampradaya and other acharyas, you can say, that we find that so many extraordinary activities also are being performed, you know, just to show that this is a power which has been given by the Lord. Like something very striking I could remember was Rasikanand, you know, how he tames the elephant and initiates him into a Gopal mantra, you know. How Madhvacharya, like so powerful, that wrestler comes in front of him, he said, just lift my toe, see whether you can lift it or not, like that. So many such examples we can see, like how Shripad Ramanujacharya, you know, converting the entire Jain community into Vaishnavas. So you find these are all the extraordinary activities that we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Also we see something which is extraordinary. In fact, Srila Prabhupada should be in the Guinness Book of World Records, if you see, not anyone else. At age of 70, going out of this land of India, and then, you know, creating such a huge revolution, establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, writing about more than 80 volumes of books, establishing more than 108 temples, having more than 4,000 disciples, traveling around the earth 14 times. So something very unusual, something which is extraordinary, we can say. But nobody pays heed to this. Nobody even notices all these things, right? But if you just only hear his particular activities, that will attract our hearts and mind also, right? Just hearing and understanding what he has done throughout the world in his 11 years, something will just, you know, will never make us forget what he has done. So I was just thinking that, you know, one personality who came in the Madhva Sampradaya, his name is Vadiraj Tirth. So I thought I'll just speak something about him, because Udupi and Hampi, we are all going, the devotees. So just preparing our mind for that. So Vadiraj Tirth was another such personality, a great acharya who created a revolution during his time, you know, at a time when things were quite okay, but then he created such a revolution that created so many changes within the Madhva Sampradaya. But he had such extraordinary powers, which really something unusual, you can say. So I thought I can just discuss about something about Vadiraj today. It is said that Vadiraj, you know, there is a place called as Kumbasi, that's a Gautama Kshetra in South Canada, and there were a couple who were staying, Ramacharya and Saraswati, and they are self-contented, but they did not have an issue. So they were praying to the Lord to give them a son, and Saraswati made a vow that, you know, if I get a son, probably I'll decorate you with a lack of ornaments. Lack ornaments, you know. So it said that that time the 19th acharya of the sampradaya of Kumbashi Mutt said that his name was Vagisha Tirtha. He got a dream where Lord Bhuvaradev appeared. And then he said that you should go, when this couple comes, just give him the mantra phala, mantra, and you just bless them, they will be coming to you, and then say that the son who is born should be coming to us. So when this couple approached Vagisha Tirtha, Vagisha gave them the mantra, and then on one condition, that as soon as the son is born, that you should get the son to us. So initially it was not so easy for us, for them to accept it, but they will, you know, they said okay. So but then said on one condition, seeing their state of affairs, Vagisha said on one condition, okay, then I can do like this: if a son is born inside the house, it is yours; if the son is born outside, it is ours. So they were happy, they went home. So the father was trying to see that, you know, when the mother or wife was pregnant, the father saw to it that, Ramacharya saw to it that she doesn't go out of the house. So that if the child is born, the child will be born inside only. So for all throughout her pregnancy, the mother was all the time inside. But when the actual time of the child supposed to be born, when that actual time came, it is said that, you know, Ramacharya had to go out somewhere for some work, and there was a cow who came from somewhere to graze in their field. So to shoo away the cow, the mother came out of the house, and when the mother came out, the pain started, and that she delivered the child. And when Vagisha Tirth came to know, it seems the Vagisha Tirth, he just said, now the child is mine. But at the same time said that, okay, you just keep the child with you till the Upanayan Samskara. After the sacred ceremony is over, then I'll take it back with me. And when the second child is born, that's the time when I'll give him the sannyas. So the child was with them in their custody, and when the Upanayan Samskar was over, the child was, who had grown up, he came under the guidance of Vagisha Tirtha. And that time he was named as Bhuvaraha, it is said, you know, because he was like prasad of Bhuvaradev, who was a worshipable deity of the sampradaya at that time. It is said that then when the second child was born, then the sannyas, you know, he was given the sannyas name as Vadiraj Tirtha. And then Vadiraj Tirtha took over this particular responsibility from his predecessor, that is Vagisha Tirtha, and he set out to preach the mission throughout the country. It is said that many extraordinary activities that Vadiraj Tirtha had done, few to name is like, you know, at one place there was a ceremony going on, marriage ceremony, and it said that, you know, during the Saptapadi, when they were taking the seven steps, the bride and the bridegroom, from the hair of the bride, one snake came out and bit the groom, and the groom died on the spot. And then everyone was shocked. It was something inauspicious. How can something happen like this at the time of marriage? So the news came to Vadiraj, and Vadiraj around was there at that time. So Vadiraj was called upon. And Vadiraj, in his dream, Lakshmi Devi came, and Lakshmi Devi said, I wanted to compose a poem, you know, glorifying the marriage of Lakshmi and Narayan. So Vadiraj had composed that poem, and he was told to recite that same poem over there. And Vadiraj came there and recited this poem glorifying the marriage of Lakshmi Devi, and suddenly the boy came to life. And it's said that the tradition in South is that whenever the marriage ceremony takes place, this particular, you know, is being sung at that time, Lakshmi Shobhane. That's the thing, what happens. It is said that, in Vijayanagar, there was a king at that time, was Achyuta Devarai. Achyuta Devarai was the person next in command after Krishnaraj Devarai of Vijayanagar. At that time, the capital was Hampi, you know. And during the reign of Achyuta Devarai, what happened is that they were undergoing some financial difficulties. There are no funds. And Vadiraj Tirtha was called upon. He just, you know, called him to his capital at Hampi and said, please help us out. And Vadiraj, it seems it is said that he had a dream where Yantradharka Hanuman, the presiding deity of Hampi, Hanuman, he came in his dream and he said, at such and such a place there is treasure hidden, you just remove this. And then he guided the king to that place, the treasure was removed out from there, and along with that he got an idol of Ram and Vitthal. Ram was worshipped by Sugriva and Vitthal was worshipped by Bali. So he got that and he said, you know, this was really very nice. He said, I just want the idols, you just keep the treasure with him. So Achyuta Devarai then helped Vadiraj rebuild the whole Udupi temple at that time with the funds that were available. And then while he was traveling, he came to Pune. At that time it was called as Punya Patana during that time. So when Vadiraj came here in Pune, there was a debate which was taking place. And in that debate, they were saying that, you know, the Magha Kavis Shishupal Vadh, you know, the presentation with nice verses and poem was supposed to be the most attractive one. It won him lot of applause over there. When Vadiraj Tirtha went there, he said, I would like to compose one poem which is much more better than that. He said, just give me 19 days. In 19 days, it said that Vadiraj Tirtha composed a poem called as Rukmesh Vijaya, glorifying the wonderful, you know, marriage ceremony of Rukmini and Krishna. Their marriage, their devotion to each other, and their, you know, wonderful activities with the choicest of words. And when Vadiraj Tirtha narrated that particular poem, it was accepted by everyone at that time. And again, during that time when he was traveling, it is said that, you know, he went to again a place in South Canada where there was a Jain ruler who received Vadiraj Tirtha and showed him their worshipable Lord, the Jina Swami. When Vadiraj went there, he just saw that, you know, Jina Swami was appearing like Lord Vitthala. It resembled Vitthala. And right in front of his eyes, the deity changed into the form of Lord Vitthal, which Vadiraj, you know, accepted it. And said that while he was at Ayodhya, there was a temple of Lord Ram, which was damaged by the Muslims. And when Vadiraj went there, he just discovered the half-buried deities of Garudji and Hanuman over there. So he excavated those deities of Garudji and Hanuman, and he was about to take it with him. But then that particular area was ruled by the Muslim king, Humayun. The soldiers of Humayun caught Vadiraj, and Vadiraj was told that they told Vadiraj that you cannot do this. And they arrested Vadiraj and brought him in front of the king, Humayun. So Vadiraj, he just mentioned to the king that if you do something to me, then your whole thing will be destroyed, dynasty will be destroyed. Hearing this, Humayun, he became very scared, and he just freed Vadiraj at that time, and he told them, you please take this also, because Humayun also had some respect for the saints. And seeing Vadiraj Tirth's devotion and his power and his, whatever effulgence, what you can say, he just said, you please go. So Vadiraj Tirth took those deities of Garudji and Hanuman, the Mukhya Pran deities, and then he installed them in the Udupi temple. So where in Krishna in a temple we find that Mukhya Pran and Garudji are both on the right and left of the main deity. So it said that when Vadiraj came back again to this place, again Humayun and his soldiers, they received him with lot of respect. And Vadiraj blessed that, you will be blessed with a wonderful son. And that son became Akbar. He was a great emperor, Akbar, who then later on ruled this particular place. And while he was traveling like this, it is said that Vadiraj reached a place, Prayag, that's Triveni Sangam, Allahabad. And he would travel with his disciples. And after one day, once when he was sitting and discussing from the Mahabharata Tatparya Tippani, Nirnay, it said that you just recite from Mahabharata, give purports, and that time he had darshan of Vedvyas. And Vedvyas, he actually reminded him of his, of his mother's vow of giving lakh ornaments. So Vadiraj acknowledged that particular vow that the mother had given to the Lord. But at that time Vedvyas said that your explanation of 1 lakh words from Mahabharata, the difficult words of Mahabharata, itself will be like an offering as ornaments to the Lord. So he says, please give the, explain those difficult 1 lakh words from the Mahabharata, and that's how you'll be able to repay what your mother has promised. So then he was very happy, and then he did that explanation, interpretation of those 1 lakh most difficult verses, and that became known as Mahabharata Laksha Alankar. So 1 lakh words which are there in Mahabharata were being explained by Vadiraj Tirtha, and thus he repaid the debt that his mother had actually, had towards the Lord. It is said that when Vadiraj was in Badrika Ashram, he was again had the darshan of Vedvyas, and Vedvyas told him to go to Bhimkund and obtain the deity of Lord Narsingdev. And on the way to Bhimkund, he actually also had worshipped the idol of Trivikram, Lord Trivikram on a stone chariot. Lord Trivikram on a stone chariot he worshipped, and then he went to Bhimkund and collected Lord Narsingdev, which he installed in his mutt. And at another place, it is said that there was one great acharya called as Narayan Acharya, and he said that he was very proud of his scholarship. And so much he was proud of his scholarship that, he actually committed offense at the feet of Vadiraj Tirtha. He became very offensive, verbally, physically also became very offensive. It said that when he became so offensive, instant reaction he got. Instantly he became a ghost Bhuta, you know. So then he begged forgiveness. Bhuta means basically Rakshas, he said. Became a demon, Rakshas. Yeah, sorry, Rakshas. And then he begged forgiveness from Vadiraj Tirth. Vadiraj Tirth said that you should roam around in the forest, and then a particular thing he said you should ask. And go on asking, and whoever will give the right answer will get your form back. So he was just roaming around, and it seems that after many years, when this Rakshas again met Vadiraj Tirth while on his tour, you know, he asked the same question to Vadiraj, and Vadiraj actually answered that, the correct answer, and then he regained his form. And remembering his previous mistake which he has committed, the offense, you know, he just begged forgiveness and he surrendered at the lotus feet of Vadiraj Tirth. And it is said that, you know, Vadiraj Tirth then named him as Bhuta Raj, one who has conquered over the Bhuta. And he said that, you know, he is the one actually who at this present moment protects the Shodhemath. The Shodhemath is nothing but Vadiraj Tirth's mutt only, which is Kumbhasa, it has now become Shodhe. He actually protects all the pilgrims also from all the evil influences and other places. And the most important thing which happened is that the Haigriva Murti, the Lord's form, in the form of a horse, Haigriva, it is said that during the Portuguese regime, you know, many of the people from that area, who were artisans, craftsmen from Vijayanagar and everyone, they all fled from different that places, and then they started residing in the western coast all the while way towards Udupi, you know, many places like Ankola, Karwar, Bandkal and all those places around in that area, they started residing there. And out of this, one such person, he was approached by a Brahmin to, you know, make a idol of Ganesh. So he made a mold for making Ganesh idol, and he had to use the mixture of five metals for making the Ganesh idol. So when he melted that whole thing, made it molten, the metal, and he wanted to float in the mold, but when he wanted to take it out the mold, the whole thing, the idol, the metal got little stripped, and because the metal got stripped, it took the form of a horse. Instead of the Lord Ganesh, it appeared like a horse form. So he thought maybe it's a mistake, so he again tried again, two times, three times he did, again the same form came, and then it was revealed to him that it was, you know, the Lord's arrangement, supposed to be manifesting in the form of the Haigriva Lord, in the incarnation of a horse as Haigriva. And Vadiraj Tirth, when he came to know that, he was, of course, came into a dream, this particular artisan's dream, this particular Haigriva deity came and said, you please give me to Vadiraj Tirth when he comes. At the same time, he appeared in Vadiraj Tirth's dream that you go to this place, from this artisan, you collect me and then you worship me. Worship that form. So Vadiraj Tirth immediately, by his mystic power, understood that where that person is, and then he went there and he collected that deity of Haigriva, and he was carrying with him wherever he was going. And he would offer every day, you know, in a basket. And very nice, it's mentioned that, you know, he said Vadiraj Tirth would hold on his head cooked mixture of gram dal, jaggery, coconut, cardamom, raisins and ghee. The mixture of these items, you know. And then he would hold it on his basket, on his head, and he would pray for the Lord to come and eat. And Lord, in the form of a horse, Haigriva in the form of a horse, he would put his two legs on his shoulders and would eat everything and go away. And that's how he would accept his offering. And slowly it became so famous that many people were becoming very envious of Vadiraj Tirth. And they wanted to poison sometimes the offering which so that you know they can kill Vadiraj. But in many occasions it said that whenever the poison was administered in the food, in the offering, Vadiraj actually ate the entire offering. So that, you know, it's not Vadiraj, the Haigriv Lord ate the entire offering so that, you know, Vadiraj should not eat that and get a poison. So one occasion it said that there was a very, very potent poison which was put, and when Lord Haigriva came and consumed everything, his body completely became green, you know, and this is something unusual. So it said that Vadiraj that time, he asked for a special brinjal, round green brinjal with white striped, that type of brinjal, and he made preparation of brinjal for 45 days. And the green portion completely disappeared and it became again the white horse, the form of white horse, except in the neck, you know. So then that particular form came to known as Haigriva Galla. That is, it's just that, you know, this particular form only had that green portion at the neck. And it said that once at one place, one big landlord, he saw that some horse is coming and, you know, eating away all the crops from his field. And he tried to shoo away that, but some other he could not manage to do that. But when one occasion he saw that a horse is going and suddenly approaching Vadiraj Teerth and disappearing in that area. So he just approached Vadiraj and said, I want to catch hold of that horse. Please, you know, he's hiding somewhere here. So Vadiraj understood who that person is. It was none other than the Lord Haigriva. She said, okay, you wait here. I am just going to call him. But please cover one of your eyes with ghee. And if you are watching, just watch it, only one of the eyes. And stand behind. So when he made the offering and kept it on his head, the basket, and suddenly, you know, when he was inviting the Lord to come and accept the offering, Vadiraj, the horse, came and put his two legs on the shoulders of Vadiraj on either side and started taking. And then it was so blazing that, you know, the landlord's one eye became completely blind. So then after that scene was gone, when he opened, he could find that he could see with only one of his eyes. But then he was very happy to have the darshan of the Lord. And that's the time we actually just donated a vast amount of land to Vadiraj Teerth for his mission. And said that at one place, you know, that's how this particular Shodhamath came. Shodhamath is just near Shirshi area. So it said that there was a devotee or person called as Arsappa Naik. He was the king of that particular place, Shodhe. But then he had a guru who was from Lingayat. Lingayat means who are worshippers of Shiva. And he said that this guru always claimed himself to be going to Kailash, having a audience with Shiva and Parvati and coming down, you know, and would claim that he has that power. And he had one mission to convert everyone, all the Brahmins, into Lingayats, that means to become worshippers of Lord Shiva. And would not do that, he would just some other crush them under elephants or kill them, brutally murder them. And this was all happening under the reign of this particular Raja, that is Arsappa Naik. It said that one occasion this king was completely defeated in battle, completely finished, and he had no other recourse. Somebody told him that you should approach Vadiraj and he will help you out. So when he went there to Vadiraj, Vadiraj understood. And Vadiraj said, because you have committed offense against the Brahmins, so many people, Brahma Hatya you have done, so many Brahmins have been killed by you, that's the reason you are getting this reaction. There is no recourse to this. So at that time, you understood why this is happening. Because the Guru, being a worshipper of Shiva, was doing this job. So he explained this to Vadiraj Teerth, that it was not his fault, it was the Guru who was doing all these things, and he had no other way but just to accept whatever Guru would say and do it. So then at that time He said, don't worry. He said, next time when you go, you just take this mantra. He just gave him a mantra. And he said, you just go and again fight the battle. And then you will come victorious. So next time when he went to the battle, he found that so many horses are in the battle much more ahead of him. He didn't have to do anything. And these horses, they went, they entered the battle and they just killed. You know, effortlessly they just destroyed the entire army of the enemies. And seeing this, you know, he became completely surprised. At the same time, very happy to see that, you know, the Lord actually had come here to help him win this. And after he regained all the kingdom and everything, he just, you know, begged surrender at the lotus feet of Vadiraj Tirtha. And it's at that time, you know, Vadiraj told him that I want to have a debate with your guru. So when the guru came in front, Vadiraj Tirtha had a debate with guru and completely defeated. He had a condition put that if I am, you compose some process, poems, and then if I defeat, if I am not able to explain, then I defeat. If I compose and you don't, then you are. So that way, the guru was completely defeated. He was thrown out of the kingdom, and the king, Arjuna Naik, he just gave the entire area for Vadiraj to, you know, perform his bhajan. And that's how this particular place was made as a main place for that particular mutt, called Shode Mutt. This is Shode Mutt. And in this, you know, they installed the, they wanted to install the Trivikram Lord, whom Vadiraj had actually seen when he was going to Badrikashram on the way to Bhimakund. So he told Bhutraj to go and get the. So on the way, when he was getting that Trivikram, it is said that he was encountered by a Rakshas and he had to fight with him. And to fight with him, he had to have some weapons. So he had to use one of the chariots of the stone, of that, one of the stone from the chariot. So he removed that, one of the, and used that. So it is said that, you know, this particular thing which they installed in the mud has the Lord on a chariot, but one of the wheels not there, you know, one of the wheels is absent. That's because of this particular aspect. So these are all the things which Vadiraj actually did. And it said that four times he actually had taken over the worship of the deity of Lord Krishna and Udupi. In fact, he was the person who actually re-established the proper worship in the temple in a way which could be easily followed. And that time, you know, there are eight mutts. You know, when Madhvacharya was there, he had eight prominent disciples, and then eight mutts were there. And they would worship in turn in 2 months, every 2 months. But, you know, every 2 months, Vadiraj Tirtha was finding that in every 2 months if you do, then there is not enough time for you to do any preaching or anything else or whatever you need to do. Or maybe, you know, establish the whatever that you wanted to do. So he changed from 2 months to 2 years at that time. So from then onwards, like, you know, that's called as Paryay. That's Mathadish of each mutt comes and they take over that worship of the deities of Lord Sri Krishna and Udupi every 2 years. And that's how that turn comes after 12 years. It's like that. And he was a person who actually renovated, helped renovate all the eight mutts in around the temple, arranged for allotment of the land and construction of the buildings, you know, which was really very much appreciated. And that's what Vadiraj Tirtha, this is a few ones. There are many more, you know. But one thing that we actually see that, you know, the devotees of the Lord also can do something very extraordinary, you know. But then what they do with that extraordinary thing, that they just use that extraordinary power just for propagating the mission of the Lord. There is no other intention or no other desires that they have. It's just that, you know, they use all these things just so that they can further preach the glories of the Lord and the mission of, So I thought I can just share with you. I went over time. Sorry for that. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.